Scary skeletons and shivers down your spine.
Welcome to a spooky episode of Mike's Camera Action. I am Final Girl, the only one getting out of this podcast alive.
AKA Carl. The Virgin.
All right, listen. And I am joined by my corrupted co-host, who will inevitably die sneaking off to engage in one of many vices, Alex.
Hello.
And today, we're starting off with a meta conversation about the horror archetypes because we're doing Cabin in the Woods. This is one of my favorite movies. I've seen this like 6 times at this point.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's intense.
And I'm super glad when I picked this one out that I managed to introduce it to you.
Yeah.
Because you hadn't seen this before.
I don't really do horror, so it's one of those ones where like this is sort of a month of exploration for me.
Yeah.
Because I've seen like bits and pieces of horror.
Yep.
But I've never sort of gotten behind the genre.
So you've never actually like properly engaged in horror movies, like sat down and watched?
No, like I've seen like sort of 50s sci-fi horror.
Yep.
I've seen a lot of like some of that stuff, but never engaged in like sort of the more violent horror sort of stuff.
Yep.
But yeah, so this will be an interesting.
Yeah, this is a proper dive. This'll be fun. We've picked out a few of the movies for this season. We've got, I think, four or five episodes. And we've picked out 3 of them so far that are going to be very, very varied and interesting and very fun. So look forward to all of those. But first, Cabin in the Woods. So this, you're saying this didn't feel that scary.
No.
And I think there's a good reason for that. This isn't itself a horror movie. This is itself more of an homage to the American horror film.
Okay, so sort of like how Scream is like an homage.
Yeah, similar.
Yeah, because I've seen Scream.
Yeah.
But to me, this felt like more an homage to the American monster movie rather than the American slasher.
A little bit. It has elements of both.
Yeah.
Because it does imply the sort of... It does imply that there are more...
Yeah.
...kinds of, you know, methods for them to meet their doom.
But it's very much
a nightmarish
thing. Yeah. All the ones that I saw were more like supernatural creatures or like people.
Yeah.
Rather than like, it's just one of them going on a rampage with a knife.
Yeah.
And a hook. Car hook, door hand. Ooh.
And then, but who was phone?
Ooh, spooky. Shivers.
So we should talk about the start. So this movie starts off. And when I first saw this movie, hearing like, oh yeah, it's like a Cabin in the Woods style horror movie type thing, I was like, all right, that's a bit on the nose.
Yeah.
And it starts off really strange because you've got like this clean white facility.
Yeah.
These two guys in like their business, in like, you know, button-up shirts walking around like with check, you know, like with pens and clipboards going, all right, yeah, Japan's like, you know, Japan will pull through, they'll carry their weight and it'll be a whole easy thing and it'll be fine. Celebrations afterwards.
Yeah.
And it's like very confusing. Like, are we? What's
Stockholm went down, but like, it's like, haha. But that was the chem. Like, something happened in 98, but that was the chem department. But the chem department's going to pull through this time. And it's like, okay.
So it really gets us at the beginning with this mystery.
Mm.
And then it just throws you right into, here's the kids going out for their vacation.
Can I just
say? We're going to Kurt's cousin's place in the woods.
I just love the song that they played at the start, the OK Go song. It's one of my favorites.
It's a good song, actually.
Yeah. I was like, ooh, I'm definitely intrigued in this film.
That roped you in?
Yeah. It was just because it was such a departure from like the sterile nature to like the clean thing. And it was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, you do meet the kids. You meet... Dana first,
who's
only wearing a pair of panties and a t-shirt.
Final girl.
With her window open.
Yeah, strangely enough.
And then she complains about people seeing her in her underwear. And I'm like...
And you have no pants. Ooh.
Yeah, you've got... it's Jules.
Jules, that's it.
Yeah, I knew it was a J. You've got Chris Hemsworth.
Who I love.
Which basically is Thor voice on.
Yeah. Although I feel like that's kind of just him.
Yeah, it's kind of just his natural like timbre.
Yeah, I can't think of him not talking in that very like that Thor voice.
Deep voice.
I just feel like that's just who he is these days.
Yeah. And then there's Holden, who just transferred from State.
Ah, yep. He's the nerd.
Yep.
And then what's the last name of our stoner character?
Marty.
Marty,
who has the best entrance.
Oh, God.
So I started watching this film.
Woke.
Fell asleep. And then when I started watching it for the like second time round to watch it fully, I started again from the start, obviously.
Sure.
And I just love Marty, his entrance from the giant bong in his car, just smoking it as he's driving up. When he locks his car door?
Yep.
And he's like, he reaches and locks the door, then pulls the handle to make sure that it's locked.
Yeah.
But it's clearly you can still open it. But also the fact that he like...
Then he takes his enormous bong, collapses it down into a coffee cup.
Yeah, and he's just like casually holding it.
The police aren't going to stop... The police aren't going to stop a guy with a giant bong in his car.
Because he's a madman.
Because they know he's crazy.
Yeah.
They know he's going to sit there and keep him there for 2 hours.
Yeah, that was the greatest.
Marty's great.
But yeah, so that I thought was actually pretty...
It's a solid intro. Like, we get all the characters, and the thing that we learn there is the characters aren't stupid.
No,
they're not a bunch of idiot teens going out into the woods who are going to die later.
Yeah,
each of them is like, you've got Kurt's a sociology major.
Yeah,
we've got Jules and Dana aren't idiots. Like, Jules isn't a bimbo.
Jules is pre-med.
She's pre-med. She's actually like working up to become a doctor.
Yeah.
So these people aren't stupid. They aren't idiots. They're just going out into the woods for some fun, which,
yeah,
who, like, what kid doesn't, you know?
Yeah. Marty's a bit of a...
Marty's the only one who I'd Marty's put, like, on that tier, but he's cooked.
Yeah, he's just cooked. He's just he's what you need. He's the stoner that's got all the, you know, society's bad, man. But yeah, there were a bunch of actual... It was an interesting thing to see, because it was... You're right, because they weren't stupid. They're all, like... smart characters, like,
and they specifically go through, like, Kurt points out some of Dana's books and says, like, oh, no, you gotta check out this one. Like,
yeah, because this, the dude's class you're taking, he covers this.
Yeah,
but if you read this one, he'll think you're insightful.
Yeah, so it's really smart in that way. Like, we're getting that these are bookish individuals, and they're not like the stereotypical, they're not all stereotypical nerds, they're just people who work hard.
Yeah, they're people who work hard and are intelligent. Because as it goes on, Kurt's got a full scholarship.
Yep.
But an academic scholarship.
Yeah.
He's not on a football scholarship, which is wild.
Yeah. Which is really interesting because he, like...
Half the time he's holding a football?
Yeah. In fact, the first time we see him, he goes, think fast, and tosses a football outside Dana's window.
Yeah, and you're like, what? And it turns out Marty's in the street. Not Marty, Holden's in the street, actually ready to catch it.
Yeah. Which, yeah,
almost gets him hit by a car.
He's ready to go. He's got the quick draw.
Yeah. I liked how they set up the whole creepy guy in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
The guy.
The Harbinger.
Yeah. The Harbinger's on the phone. He's quite interesting. He gives me the creeps.
Can he take a message? The old guy gives me the creeps.
Yeah. They don't even... The guys at the facility don't even like him.
No, they don't.
I like how they're like, yeah, we didn't really put him there. We just take advantage of him being there.
I love that he's giving him, like, the full thing where he's like... Oh, this biblical prophecy, the lambs are on their way to the killing floor. And he's just like, do you have me on speakerphone? No, of course not. Yes.
There's a real sharp divide between this film being like horror, like intense, and just comedic.
Yeah. There's a lot, and especially when we get to those, like to that facility at the beginning.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like comedy, like comedic back and forth between these characters. There's a lot of, like, really ridiculous, like, satirical stuff sort of sprinkled in there.
Yeah, and it's like, okay.
Mm.
Like, the, there's all, yeah, there's, like, the betting pool, and it's like, the maintenance team always fix that. It's like, yeah, I don't want them to be, they're the maintenance teams.
Yeah.
If they're creative, they wouldn't be janitors. They,
if they were maintenance, they wouldn't, if they were creative, they wouldn't be in maintenance.
Yeah. I did really enjoy that, though, because it made it more sinister.
Yeah. It gives you a few things, because it gives you like this human element to the people behind the scenes, to the puppeteers. It makes it feel like an actual workplace where there's all these different departments working together, and then you see that interplay between them. But then there's also that cruelty of it where you've got like these are people betting on how a bunch of teenagers are going to die.
Yeah, and it's like you've got the other dude who's like apparently new, and it's like, they prep
you have,
me.
You have the guy in security who's new to the job.
And he doesn't want to get on the betting pool because he thinks it's kind of sick.
Yeah, and I love that the woman he's telling this to immediately then hands off her payment.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
I actually really enjoyed that. It was like that bit twisted where like he's almost the voice of reason.
A little bit.
But he's not exactly the voice of reason because he's still going along with it.
Yeah. He's partially there so that we can learn as well. You need the new guy on the force so that they can be like, oh, here's where we explain our job. Like,
yeah.
we don't we don't tip the scales. We just push them in the right direction, kind of.
Yeah, and I did enjoy that. Like that's what even makes it more sinister is that they're not like the whole thing is that they have to make the choice.
Yep.
They have to decide their fate.
The teenagers are warned, but they choose to go on through. They have to go into the basement. They have to pick the item of their destruction.
Yeah.
Like, they have to unleash the great evil in some way.
Yeah, they have to unleash the great evil, which is crazy.
So there are so many elements in that basement, and I've seen people pick through them and try and match them up to the board.
Yeah.
And it's pretty... I wish I had that in front of me right now so I could go through it and, like, pick out what they are. There's the moment where Kurt's got the shell in his hands, and you can see that... I can't remember the character's name, but he's looking at it and, like... That's the thing that calls the mermaid or the merman.
Yeah, he blows into it, but doesn't quite.
Well, he's got it in his hands and he's about to blow into it, and then he turns and looks to the puzzle box or the puzzle sphere, which is the one that summons the sort of pinhead, like razor blade face character.
Yeah, there's actually the other one that's almost the one that's actually credited is Fornicus.
Fornicus.
Fornicus, who is the Hell Lord? That's on the board.
Yep.
Fornicus is the dude with the blade.
Fornicus,
the Lord of Bondage and Pain.
Yep. That's a sort of pinhead type character. Yeah.
Yeah, because he's playing with the box.
Yep. Yeah, because he's got the cube the puzzle box sphere, like, object when he's in the elevator. So we see that and we go, okay, that's how we link those two together.
Yeah.
There's, of course, the music box with the ballerina. That's the ballerina.
Yeah. I didn't know what the film was.
I don't know either. The film, I mean, for all we know, the film could coincide with a few things. There's also the zombies. I want to know what the unicorn's object was. I wish the unicorn were the monster of this movie. If I could change one thing about this movie, instead of zombie redneck torture family, it would be the unicorn, because that's what I wanted.
Yeah, it was interesting. Like, the one that I found interesting was the fact that there were zombies, and then there was the zombie redneck family.
Yep. You had zombies. This is zombie redneck torture family. It's they're completely different species. Like the difference between an elephant seal. I love that explanation.
Yeah.
Because we later see what the actual zombies and not the zombie redneck torture family are. And they're just like a bunch of college kids zombified.
Yeah. There's also like, because I found the list of what's on the board.
Yep.
Listed on the whiteboard. There's alien beast.
Okay.
Angry molesting tree.
Angry molesting
tree. The bride.
The bride.
Clowns, deadites, demons, dismemberment goblins, the doctors, dolls, dragon bat, giant snake.
Yep. We've seen a few of those.
Hell Lord, Kevin.
What?
Kevin.
Kevin. Just Kevin. Kevin.
Yeah, nobody bets on Kevin. Oh.
Oh.
Apparently Kevin is the film one.
Oh, okay. Do we see Kevin on screen? What is Kevin?
No, Kevin is not on screen. Kevin is like Norman Bates from Psycho. Like, he's a psychopath.
Oh, okay.
He's a psychotic killer.
Okay. That's a shame.
Apparently, he's in the novelization.
Okay.
Yeah, it's...
So, yeah, or possibly like Jason or Michael, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that was the... There's Scarecrow folk, which you see murder some people. Yep. Sexy witches, which don't actually appear in
appear
in like one of the boxes on the far.
Yeah, sexy witches.
Yeah, there's the werewolf. I wonder what would have summoned that.
Mm.
But yeah, so there's like wraiths, zombie redneck torture family,
zombie redneck torture family,
and Ronald the intern. Who is the most bizarre creature?
No, Ronald the intern's the guy who bet. Ronald the intern is the intern in that room who bets on zombie redneck torture family.
Yeah,
he's not a monster.
No, yeah, no, sorry.
Yeah,
Ronald the intern.
What's up?
So, behind the scenes in the Cabin of the Woods, the official visual companion, Joss Whedon said in his afterword that there were things that can never be known. Then Joss Whedon added, "How did Ronald the intern survive the end of the world and eventually end up ruling the ancient gods?"
What?
I think that was just a joke addition, and I just find it hilarious.
Hey, I'm an intern, so I don't get overtime.
Also, as an intern, he looks way older than I am.
Yeah, a little bit, but at the same time, you can intern at an older age.
Yeah, there was Japanese floaty girl, which was amusing.
Yep.
There was a lot of people.
Mm.
There was those weird mask people, and I don't understand what they were.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Those were actually creepy.
It's kind of like the... Yeah, a little bit like, because they were floating as well, weren't they? It's kind of like the from the Hush episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that one. Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting...
One of my favorites that you see like in the cubes and in the scenes later on is the Killbot. Like just that giant, just that mechanical like buzzsaw scorpion that's running around the building.
Yeah.
That's a cool one. I like the design on that one. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of them just like really bizarre. Like there's the Kraken, which makes no sense. Like how would they have fit in?
It pops up out of the lake.
There's actually a couple of them based on monsters from Left 4 Dead.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. There was like crossover between them where they have, I think, the Boomer, Charger. In one of the boxes.
Yeah, there's a few of them. But yeah, so that's fun.
Mm.
I did... There were some interesting, actually, ones that I did enjoy.
Yeah.
Like the mask people were terrifying, yep, and all that. But yeah, no, I did like seeing just the variety.
Yeah.
They had a lot of ways to kill people.
Yeah. And they're all very different for the most part. They've all, yeah, got some sort of different thing running behind them. I do want to say, going up ahead, the moment when we've got Dana and Marty in the facility, and we've got all those internal security coming after them, and they're in that control booth in the hallway. The moment the doors open is one of my favorite moments in any movie ever.
Oh yeah,
the massive, just the moment all the doors go bing and open up, and all the monsters come flying out into the room, and the massive gore explosion of every single person in that hallway being torn to ribbons is one of my favorite moments. Just that shot is incredible.
Yeah.
I love it.
Actually,
so much going on.
I found a list of the confirmed summon items.
Yep. Okay.
So the patient Buckner's family summons the Buckner family.
Yep.
Conch summons Merman. Puzzlefear, yep, summons Fornicus.
Mm-hmm.
Necklace atop a wedding dress summons...
Jules picked that up at one point.
The bride,
put on,
who you don't see in the film.
Okay, yep.
You don't see it, but it summons her.
Sure.
Because it's on a wedding dress.
It's on the wedding dress, yeah.
Music box summons the Sugar Plum Fairy, a.k.a. the little girl without a face. And that's,
yeah,
really
the ballerina. Yeah.
Unnerving.
Yeah.
Fortune Teller Machine summons clowns.
Oh, I was wondering about
there's
that.
There's a unicorn tapestry apparently in there, and that summons, okay, the unicorn.
Yep. Man, I wish someone had touched the tapestry.
There's an amulet that summons the werewolf, but I assume it would actually turn you into a werewolf.
No, I think because they have it in the,
yeah,
box, in like the cubes, like in the elevators,
yeah,
I assume that they just unleash the werewolf upon them.
Yeah, but yeah, probably.
What happens after that is fair
game. It probably
game.
Hunts the werewolf, like it's probably one of the ones, like the amulet, like attracts the werewolf sort of,
yeah,
thing. And the film strip, as I said, summons Kevin.
Kevin? My name's Kevin. Yeah.
Which was in a Q&A, all that information.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's Kevin, cool. I like how there's just Kevin. just Kevin.
It's nice that they put detail into that, like actually linked things up and had ideas behind what made what. It's not just a whole bunch of random crap thrown into a cellar.
Yeah, like you had to obviously do the ones that people picked up, but
yeah.
I was actually really curious as to what the film strip would summon.
Mm.
I wouldn't have been surprised had it been a werewolf or something.
Yeah.
No. Or like a wolf,
or even just zombies, you know.
Yeah.
Like it's like just when I think film, like it's such a pop culture thing.
Yeah, or like an
the George
A.
Romero
or
zombie. Yeah.
But yeah, no, so the whole thing is very sinister. They make their choice.
Yeah.
And as Marty says, don't read the Latin.
Yeah. Whatever you do, just don't read the Latin.
I dare you all to go back outside.
Yeah.
Because they're playing Truth and Dare.
Yeah.
And
I dare you to go make out with that wolf. And then she fucking does it.
No, he says moose first, and that's the funniest bit about it.
That's, yeah.
And then they're like, that's clearly a wolf. Huh? I'm in a womb of reefer, man. Just high off his face.
And that's why he lives.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah, because they've been late. What did they explain it with? Because they were lacing it.
So they laced her hair dye with a substance, yeah, to make her dumb. Jules'
yep.
hair dye, so.
Yeah.
I don't know what they did to Kurt, but Holden and Marty were... Marty was talking about how Holden changed.
Yeah.
So not Holden, Kurt changed.
Yeah,
like he
Kurt was becoming some more alpha male type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's acting more dumb. And he's like, but he's just drunk. And I'm like...
I've seen him drunk before, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were actually doing anything to Dana.
No, I don't think they were doing anything to Dana.
I got the vibe they weren't doing anything to Dana or Holden.
Yep.
They did set up like the whole mirror in the room thing.
Yeah, that was really freaking disturbing.
Yeah.
Props to Holden for offering the switch.
Yeah, I did actually enjoy that. There was that there was that like character depth in that he was like, please don't. He was like, he was admiring her, then noticed that she was actually getting naked. Like, no.
I do like that he actually, there's that moment of like, will he, won't he, like tell people about this? And yeah, just when he goes, yeah, no, I'm not going through with this. Please know that there's a big gap in the wall here.
Yeah. I did like how they did all the different, like the ways that they were doing it, like the way that how they managed not to make anyone, you know, leave was they caved in the cavern.
Yeah. Which was done many hours too late, as we find out.
Yeah.
Because Marty's been screwing with it.
Yeah, Marty'd been screwing with it. It came from upstairs. Upstairs.
Mm.
And then there was, what else? Then there was the gas to make sure that they split up.
Yep.
Which confirms people are going to get murdered.
Yeah.
Then there was Kurt trying to jump the gap with the, with his motorbike, which is one of the only, which was set up in one of the earlier scenes, which is the only scene I actively have issue with, mainly because it's a bit of bad CGI with the bird and then the van.
Yeah.
Like the van going in is fine.
Yep.
But then as it comes out, it's clearly a CGI van.
Okay. So your fault isn't with the actual, like, anything narrative there. No. It's purely the van when it comes out of the tunnel at the other side.
Yeah. Like the rest of the film CGI is really good. And
it holds up really well.
It's just that there's that one bit. And it's like, no. But then you see him try and jump it. Then he's still trying to jump it on his dirt bike. And it's like, you can make this. I've made longer jumps before. Then crash straight into the barrier.
That scene where Kurt dies is brilliant. I love it.
Yeah.
Just the setup on it. And it's like, oh, this huge dramatic moment. And then it dawns on you, oh, wait, what about the bird?
Yeah.
Where you remember that scene where the bird flies into the force field and just explodes.
Yeah, and then you
see Kurt just shatter against this wall.
Actually, my favorite bit about it isn't the fact that it shatters against the wall, but the fact that it still tracks. It still tracks Kurt as he goes down.
Yeah.
And it seems
he tumbles down the hallway, and it just seems keeps endless. Going. Yeah.
Which holds up because the facility, the temple, is underneath the house.
Yep.
It's underneath the cabin. So by making it seem endless, it holds up that they can actually, the gods can be that deep.
Yeah, the gods do go all the way down. And the gods are present.
Yeah, they're present in the death of in this reality, which is wild.
So speaking of the gods and always watching, I think this movie represents a few things. So on its face, we have two stories here. One is of these teenagers going out into the woods and being murdered, and on the second layer, we've got the facility where they're controlling the instruments of their destruction, basically.
Yeah.
So I think this has, and this kind of implies that, you know, all horror movies always have these puppeteers who are controlling their, who are putting the teenagers and the people in these situations to their deaths. But this has a kind of, I think, another idea, which is that the gods are the audience.
Yeah, like, so the gods are the audience that, the gods are the people that consume the horror films.
Yeah.
If they don't die, it's not interesting.
Yep.
So they get basically the world gets destroyed. There's no sequel.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
I don't know why you make sequel horror films anyway. They're better as one-offs.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's like in another layer, the people who are making this, the facility is actually the crew of the film. And they're putting together this movie of sorts, trying to appease the gods that are the people who pay to see these movies or the people who enjoy watching these.
It's like they compliment the director, like people in the facility complimenting the director as the film is being made.
Yeah.
Oh, I really liked what you did there. It made it really dramatic. Yeah, you know, the whole going off the cliff, the water rising in the RV, and then the zombies there as well.
Mm.
And I found, I was like, oh, that's really interesting. And the fact, even the fact that the virgin doesn't actually have to die, but only has to suffer, that's a horror movie trope.
Oh, absolutely. Sometimes sometimes final girl lives, other times she just dies.
Yeah, but she has to die last.
Always last.
I did like it that they also lent on, like, you know, there's the, what do they call her? The whore?
The whore.
Yeah, who dies first because she's corrupted.
Yep.
Then it's the athlete. Then the rest can die in whatever order.
It's always the whore character first.
Yeah, and the virgin last.
After that, it's all fair game.
Yeah. Because I was about to say, I couldn't remember because they sort of stopped caring.
Yeah, just provided that the final girl, the virgin character, dies last, that's it.
Which is why the ritual wasn't working because Marty was still alive.
Yep, Marty was still hiding out somewhere off screen because, and it's got, and this is the thing, this is laced with horror movie tropes, but it plays into them so well, where we've got Marty dies off screen.
Yeah.
But because we don't see it, it doesn't count.
Yeah.
So he comes back later, despite, you know, giant blood spurt and a scream, and we assume he's dead.
Yeah.
But that's that happens a lot in horror movies.
You just assume someone's dead and then they come back and save the day.
Yep.
Which is exactly what Marty did until they let the day go to shit.
till he makes the day so much worse.
Until they're like, oh,
till he
this.
Brings about the apocalypse by not dying.
Yeah. I just like that. He was like, they both just decide, fuck it.
I mean, I would.
I still like Marty being like, oh, I wish I could have seen those giant gods. Like, yeah, that would have been dope.
I don't think Kurt has an uncle.
I don't think Kurt has a cousin. Yeah. And it's like, what?
Like, I can kind of respect that, just being like, yeah, I'm not going to die so that the world can live. Screw you, pal.
Yeah, I just liked that. It was like, it was peak horror film, because a lot of horror films, everyone is just selfish.
Yeah.
People die because they lock people out. People yep. die because, you know, they just don't give a flying.
They're enlisting to the Harbinger.
Yeah, they're just like, oh, I'm going to do whatever.
Hey, Dana, I'm sorry I let a werewolf bite you.
Yeah. And I really did enjoy that.
Mm.
I really did enjoy the whole variety that you, like, the variety of people, like, but that everyone ended up being selfish.
Yeah.
Including Dana, because she almost did shoot him.
Oh, she was gonna. She was thinking about
it. She was just going to yeet on him hard.
God damn it.
But then it was just like, yeah, this is fun.
Mm.
Like, it's like, all right, they just decided, you know what, let's not bother.
Yeah.
And I did.
Front row seats to the end of the world, huh?
Yeah, I did actually enjoy that.
Mm.
What did you think, though?
What I think
of? Of, like, the fact that, like, everyone was selfish.
Oh, I think that's a great. I think that's perfect. Like, so many film characters are, and it was good to see, like, these two characters who at the end of the film who just decided, yeah, nah, the heroic sacrifice thing just ain't for me. Screw it. The whole world can die with me today. That's fine.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Mm.
You
know what? I'm surprised that internal security is really bad at security.
Why was there only one of them to begin with? So
we had one guy alone who just dies, and then after that, they have one thing, which is they at least managed, they sent in an appropriate force to deal with the problem. You know, you send in like six dudes, like they sent out a SWAT team basically to kill Marty.
Yeah.
And solve that problem, but they were so unequipped to deal with any of the nightmare horrors that came out of the facility. Once they, like, it's a button on a console that just lets all the monsters into the building, and then that's it.
Yeah, I don't understand why that was a thing.
Any of those monsters would have just tore through that building, any of them, because they didn't take down anything. The clown shakes off bullets.
Yeah,
like what could they? There's a literal ghost, like a wraith that just runs around.
Yeah.
A giant snake, the vampire bat.
Yeah, it's really bizarre that they, like, just...
We see the building just immediately go into chaos, and it's like, yeah, sure, there's a million monsters unleashed in the building, but do you not have measures in place to deal with these things?
Or is it just the dudes with all the, like, semi-automatic guns just like, yeah, boy?
Yeah. Like, you can't expect to shoot the killdozer, like...
Yeah. Also, like, why don't they just have one of those, like, big force fields, like, but underneath?
Yeah, why not have like, some more protection in place? Where's, like, internal security?
All you need is, like, that one dude to have, like, a, like, you know, the dude needed... You need two dudes, otherwise the zombie hand wouldn't have gotten him.
Yeah.
It was my biggest thing.
If he just had backup, he would have been fine.
Yeah, because the zombie hand got him, so they were able to, like, subdue him, but just pop.
A zombie, yeah, because when they come out of the elevator, there's one guy there who's ready for them. Like, he stops him and goes, aha.
Why can't they flood the elevator shafts with killer gas? There's a lot of, like, a lot of that stuff is just...
Yeah, that's the thing. Their intel security is terrible.
Also, like, it's surprising to me that the... I honestly find it a little surprising that the whole murder of all those people isn't appealing to the gods.
Yeah.
Like
they don't enjoy the blood slaughter that just happened.
Yeah. Are they more a fan of like, but they, I know they were talking about the fact that they have to be young to die.
Yep.
But also that's a lot of people that just,
in all fairness, I was entertained by the massacre going on in the building.
So was I.
So, like, I feel like you could have just given, like, instead of giving me the teenagers at Cabin in the Woods thing, if you'd just given me the monster facility is unleashed and everyone's trying to survive in this building, I'd have been happy.
I loved it. It was ironic.
Yeah. And that's actually real. And part of it is, like, you feel this, like, layer of these people getting their just desserts.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, it's like, oh, man, there was a lot of people just doing their job in here. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, your job is murder, but you're also an electrician.
Yeah, it's like, there's the demolition department. It's just like, oh, we just didn't get the memo.
Yeah, we didn't get the memo, man. We weren't told to blow the tunnel.
Yeah. What was it? There's also, what else was there? There was that. What other departments were there? There was the zoology department.
Engineering, zoology.
Because I remember one of them makes a bet and they're like, are you sure we have one of those?
Yeah,
the zoology department says we do. Like, they should know.
Who else? There's a whole bunch.
There's
like
the intern, the security. There's
your Danny, the intern character.
Yeah, I don't understand why. It's just really, really thing. Really bizarre.
Which one's your favorite monster from the sequence we saw?
Oof. I did like the unicorn.
The unicorn?
I found it really ironic.
Yeah. Dude, I have seen no other movie in my life where a man gets gored to death by a unicorn. And I'm so glad it's in this one. Just the unicorn chasing a guy down the hallway, then stabbing him to death.
So what it did was it reminded me of a book I read once when I was a lot younger, called Zombies vs. Unicorns.
Zombies vs. Unicorns.
So what it was a whole bunch of stories written, short stories written by different authors about zombies and some about unicorns. Like,
oh, I think I've heard of these.
I might have shown it to you because I read it a few times in high school.
Yeah, okay.
And you might have seen me read it.
Mm.
I loved it because some of them were like, some of them had like zombie love stories. Some of them were like killer unicorns. Like, it was just wild as to what these authors wanted. They were like, yeah, we're doing this, we're doing that, we're doing this.
Mm.
Like, Garth Nix wrote one. Like, some of the, like, the best-selling like young adult fiction writers wrote stories in it.
Wow.
I recommend it if you're into, like, killer unicorns and stuff.
It was just about bizarre. Unicorns. I've never seen that. Yeah, I've just never seen that in the movie.
It was awesome. Interesting. It was, but yeah, I highly recommend it if you've got time to check that one out, because it was,
if you want more unicorn murder in your life.
Yeah, because I find like unicorns are normally presented as being very pure.
Yeah,
and this is what I loved, like the whole ironic nature of the unicorn murder.
That's exactly it. Like when I see the unicorn running through the facility goring this guy, I picture, I wonder what that would have looked like roaming around the cabin.
Yeah, because I feel like they would have tried to get close because it's a unicorn. Yeah. Like, oh my God.
Like, could you imagine the monster movie? And in fact, you know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to write a script about that right now. I'm going to write a script about I'm going to write a monster movie script with a unicorn as the monster.
Yep. All right.
I'm doing it. That'll be my submission to the next film festival.
All right, sweet. So we're doing this, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Unicorn murder.
Unicorn murder. Let's do it.
Yep. Oh, you know what? Let's do this, like, legitimately.
No, I'm serious.
Because, like, the way that I'd picture, like, a unicorn horror film.
Yeah.
This is my idea now. This is copyright. Please don't steal.
Okay.
It's
all right. We'll delay this episode.
Is that
until we get made.
What it would be, it would be the crazy, just thinking about it being, like, a crazy sort of, you just see the gore, like, at the start, but you don't see the horn. Like, everyone's just getting pierced, and there's just this noise, and no one's quite sure what it is. And then as time goes on,
or you could
someone spots it and they don't.
Or you could do it the complete opposite and just go with maximum irony. Like, oh, it's a unicorn. How magic, like, make it all like this pure magical moment. And then just kills someone and immediately nosedives into horror movie.
See, I think we could. I think it would
How
work.
Horrible would that be?
I think it would work like if we did it both ways, though.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of potential in an ironic horror.
Yeah, so I like the idea that, like, the pure thing. I think, like, you could set it up at the start, like, you see it, and but then they scare it off.
Yep.
So they scare off the unicorn, and then they go about their lives. And the next thing you know, someone's slowly murdering some of them.
Mm.
And it'd be more interesting if it manages to, like, conceal its, like, entry into, like, a house or something.
But, it's, but just this is, like, some suburban Sasquatch stuff where it's going to be, like, a dimension-hopping unicorn that can fade into someone's...
Unicorns are magic!
They are, exactly. Unicorns are magic, unlike a Sam Squanch.
Yeah, like, you could do it so it's, like, something crazy. Like, it, you know, it can unlock with its horn, because that's a trope I've read.
Yeah. Bears can do it. Why can't unicorns?
Yeah, like you tap it. It's magic. It's the horn is magic, so it can do whatever the hell it wants. And so you do that, and then after that, you just it just starts yeeting. It just stabs people.
Oh god damn it!
Like it just stabs people. Like no, like it's like you could do it ironically that like yep. the couple it walks past the couple having sex.
Yeah,
because that's not a pure thing.
Yeah,
and it's not a pure unicorn though.
Yeah, no, not at all.
But then you could have like a unicorn
and it just
on unicorn
stabs her in the eye
jaw or something if you want. whereas, like, you know, there's just the one reading and, like, the ones that are
make
alone.
Make it like a Dark Saddle Club movie.
Hello, world! This is me! Life could be fun for no one!
You've just got someone else on another horse racing against this unicorn for their lives.
And then they, yeah, and then they just joust a unicorn.
Hell yes!
But yeah, I think it'd be crazy.
Mm.
I think it'd be interesting to see.
You know what's crazy? Putting all your money on a merman murdering a bunch of teenagers and then not getting the merman, but then the merman comes for you.
Oh, I loved how it was aware of it.
Yep. I love it. That moment where he's just like, oh, god damn it. Like, yeah. he knows that the universe was out to get him that day.
Yeah, he was like, oh, no, this is where it ends.
Then the other guy from the facility... I feel a little bit sad about how he dies. He just turns a corner and gets stabbed.
Yeah.
Like, Dana just stabs him in the chest. And it's like, oh, fuck. Oh God. I'm so sorry this happened.
Yeah, it was crazy. He just got stabbed.
He had his chance, man.
And I think that's what the person they're most shocked about is when they stab him.
Yeah.
Because he just looks like an average office worker.
He's just a guy.
He's just a guy.
He's not like another security guard or a guy with a gun. He's just a guy. And who, an egghead.
Oh no.
And not only that, but she straight up, like, that's the first time one of our characters straight up murders a person.
Yeah.
We don't see, I think that's the only time anyone
ever
does
that. Because they always get the monsters to do it.
Yep.
Or they kill monsters.
They push the button where the monsters do it. Marty hacks up a zombie into a billion pieces, which is a zombie redneck monster.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Even the director doesn't get directly killed by Marty or Dana.
No.
No, she gets stabbed by patients, then kicked into the hole.
Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy. I'm just trying to think.
That's the only time any of our characters actually murders a human being, and it's Dana.
Yeah, it's... And she just accidentally stabs a dude.
Yeah.
Like, Dana also almost murders...
Shoots Marty in the back of the head. Yeah. Yeah,
but then decides not to, and it's like, maybe you should have.
Hey, man, if Sigourney Weaver comes up to me and tells me to kill somebody, I'm a considerate at least.
Yeah, yeah, true. Look, I would also consider it. At least that way it's over. But, yeah. Like, would they have made her forget, or would they have just shrugged it off, or...?
New intern, new employee. What would happen to Dana if she actually did it?
Yeah, actually, that'd be interesting. Maybe that's how what's his name came on board. How do you just casually tell people about Dark God?
How do you join that company as well? What do you think their HR policy is like? What do you think their recruiting is?
I don't know, because a lot of people seem very positive to working in a place where you murder a bunch of people.
Yeah,
maybe
it's a living.
Maybe it's just a mental hospital or something.
But I mean, a lot of it's just blue collar workers. Like, these are just ordinary people, and it's just like, yeah, part of the job is, you know, saving the world by murdering a few teens. Like,
yeah,
it's
I think that's because a lot of them convince themselves it's that angle.
It's very. I don't think anti-hero or anti-villain is what we have pretty much a whole facility of.
Yeah,
where these are people who are doing what they believe to be right. Like, if you were told it's part of your job being an electrician or, you know, someone in maintenance or whatever.
Yeah, they're an anti-villain. They're,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doing horrible things, but for the right cause.
Yeah, they're doing horrible things, but they're trying to save the world.
Yeah. It's to keep the great old ones from emerging from the depths.
But yeah,
so it's a justifiable cause.
I find it very interesting that, yeah, they're doing it for a reason.
Mm. I feel like there's yeah, I just wonder how, I wonder how, you know, one would go about getting this job. And yeah. Also, how does it pay? How well does it pay? And can I work there?
Yeah, it's like they actually seem to be paying pretty well. But yeah, I found it very interesting that they also the fact that they had everyone all over the world. Also, I found all the countries.
Yep.
I don't know if we saw all of them on screen, but I found a list. There's the facility in the US.
Yep.
Buenos Aires in Argentina.
Yep.
Stockholm in Sweden.
Yep.
Madrid in Spain. Mm-hmm. Kyoto in Japan. That was the schoolgirls.
Yep. We did see in the Stockholm one, there's a screenshot, like, there's a screen there.
Yeah.
Of, I think, like, a Yeti or something that's been killed.
Yeah.
And then Madrid, we also see on another screen where there's some sort of structure on fire.
I think also Buenos Aires had, like, this giant bull-type creature, or maybe that was the Yeti. Just getting confused. But there's also, there's also Rangoon in Burma.
Hmm.
And there's also Berlin.
Okay.
But yeah, they also had, I found the list of departments. They had electrical, internal logistics, kitchen staff maintenance, R&D, story department, wrangler, zoology. And that's about it.
I like, I do want to go through at some point, and I regret not doing it before the show. But I do want to go through and look at all those different countries and see what kind of horror tropes work in those countries. Because we see only two in good detail, which is America, where we've got like the classic horror film, and then Japan, where we have the spirit of a woman with dark hair and a white dress kind of thing, tormenting children. So those are two very strong horror tropes that we see
like,
in those two cultures.
Like the one from Japan is like Ring-like.
Yeah.
Also, there's endings on their screen are actually things from different horror movies or like thrillers.
Yeah.
So the Stockholm branch is actually the ending clip from the 1997 movie Dante's Peak.
Oh, okay.
The clip of Rangoon is footage from Roland Emmerich's Godzilla.
Yeah.
Berlin branch is likely the ending of 2006 movie The Wicker Man.
Ooh.
And the Buenos Aires branch is in fact the ending clip from the 2005 movie King Kong. So the reason why it probably looks like a fuzzy thing because it could have been Giant Gorilla.
Huh.
But yeah, fun.
That's cool. Yeah, so I want, because I know America, a lot of their horror culture comes from like being out in the woods, being in the wilderness, being secluded from civilization and having horrible stuff happen to them there.
Yeah.
In England, it's different where a lot of their horror comes from the city.
Yeah.
Where you have things like, that's where kind of their terrible stuff happened.
Yeah,
in
it's
England.
Like alleyways and stuff. And
yeah, it comes from like Jack the Ripper and the Industrial Revolution, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas America, it comes from like stories of the Old West and massacre of the native population, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I feel like Australia kind of hangs a bit more on the American side.
Yeah, we were talking about it before the show, and I couldn't quite figure out where an Australian one would be. Because I think there's an element of the bush where I think it would take place.
I think, for the most part, I haven't seen a lot of Australian horror. I've seen a few elements.
Yeah.
And I know it's usually out in the, like, it's usually the outback. So you have things like Wolf Creek. You have things like giant killer crocodile.
Yeah. But I'm just trying to think, like,
I was at a video store the other day, and I saw this display for Hereditary. And one of the movies on this display was called The Boar.
Yeah.
Or something like that. And I think it was an Australian film. I can't remember too detailed. But it's a horror movie about a giant wild boar.
Oh, what?
Yeah. And so now I want to go back and take a look at that and see what the deal is.
Okay. Yeah, maybe. But yeah, so you're right. I think Australia tends to lean towards the... I think it's due to the fact that the countries are set up in this densely pocketed, but like also this wide expanse of just nothing.
Yeah.
Like Australia more so, obviously.
Yeah.
But there's still that element of Australia just being...
And you
like,
don't get many proper American horror movies in the cities.
Yeah.
Even Friday the 13th, I think it's like Friday the 13th 7 or 8, and it's like Jason takes over Manhattan. But that doesn't even take place in Manhattan. It takes place on a boat off the coast of Manhattan.
Yeah, a lot of them, because like there's that sense of no escape,
yep,
I think.
That's exactly it. It's being away from civilization and cell phone reception.
Yeah, and I think that's what a lot of them rely on. Whereas like in the UK, although I've seen they either take place in the middle of nowhere or in the US for horror films, in like one place. It's like a slasher film where it only takes place in like a high school or something.
Yeah. And what I really love the scene just when Japan fails and all these kids successfully put the spirit of the this angry, vengeful spirit into the body of the happy frog.
Yeah.
And we cut back to the guys in the facility, and this guy's looking at the screen going, "Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you," to all these children.
Yeah. Because I was trying to remember which film I'd seen where it takes place in a high school and it's prom night.
Ah, yep.
And, well, wait, does it take place in the prom in a high school, but it takes place where the prom is?
Yeah.
It's just a slasher film.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a wild, film. Wild. Yeah, so that was the more slasher ones, though.
Yeah.
All the American sort of supernatural ones take place in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. Definitely. Because even the slashers have an element of seclusion to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's why they don't get caught or don't escape.
Yeah.
But what I mean from the point of view as to why, as they just. Yeah, because you've got a. There's an interesting distinction, because I definitely remember, like, even in the 50s, like, giant city, like, sci-fi films don't really occur. Like,
no.
What is it?
You don't get the Vampire of New York often. That's typically, like, a genre breaking idea.
Yeah. Like, the invasion of the body snatchers
happens,
and it's basically in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And it's wild, actually. Yeah, it's just in a town called Santa Mira, and they're just making duplicates until the entire town is replaced.
Yeah.
I recommend that one. It's about it's about a communism.
Oh.
Yeah. it's one of those weird 50s films.
Falling over like dominoes.
Yeah, it's one of those weird 50s films that's kind of meant to be about communism, but yeah, it's about McCarthyism, like this person is
a little bit of propaganda in there.
Yeah, but like as was known for the 50s films.
Yeah, I think it's time to wrap up on this episode.
Yep.
Any final notes to give, Alex?
I wish they'd blown the conch.
I wish it had happened.
I feel like
the unicorn or the merman. I wish those two had.
There was actually so much they could have made out of this. They could have made like a few films.
Yeah.
Worth of like the cabin in the woods being the last one.
Yep.
But like at least short films about like what happens to like other people depending on what they pick up.
Yeah.
Because I would have loved to have seen it.
I would like to see their interpretation of a lot of that stuff and see a lot of those giant monsters come to life and see how do you make a cabin in the woods slasher movie about the giant snake?
Oh yeah. Actually, I'm reading the wiki and one of the things that was it was saying is that there was the reason why the facility has it is because it's a reference to the 11th hour Deus Ex Machina sort of hand of God type. Here's a helpful thing to save the protagonist.
Yep. Okay. That's fair.
But yeah, that was
excellent.
Interesting thing.
So next week we're going to go with a much more, well, not really much more, but like a more recent movie. So this is something that's just come out as far as I can tell.
Yeah, it's come out within like the last year or so and is still being shown at some cinemas.
Some screenings.
It may get a wider release, but I'm not sure about it.
Yep. So this is a film called Mandy. And so I know it stars Nicolas Cage, but who's this by?
This film is by Panos Cosmatos the writer and director.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's got Nicolas Cage, Elijah Wood's a producer.
Ooh.
Cause
he produces things now.
Yeah, he produces things now. There's a lot of other actors I've not really heard of. There's Andrea Riseborough, mm-hmm. Linus Roach,
yep.
Bill Duke.
Cool.
I think it'll be an interesting film to watch.
Definitely, check out the trailer.
Tell me what you think.
Because that's all I've seen on this movie so far is just the trailer, and I thought I didn't know entirely what was going on, but I was intrigued.
Yeah, it's someone is listed in the thing as being there's the Cheddar Goblin.
The Cheddar Goblin. Okay. Alex, say no more because I want to go into this just with the idea of Cheddar Goblin in my head.
And fuck pig.
All right, that's it. So catch up with the Cheddar Goblin and the Fuck Pig. We'll be able to tell you all about those next week when we talk about Mandy.